1 hour left. Tomorrow, we're going to be out at Golden One Center, and tomorrow is when we're moving on. After this hour, I'm not talking about the trade anymore. I'm not talking about DeMarcus Cousins. He plays for New Orleans. Wish him the best of luck, but he's not a Sacramento King. We've done this ad nauseum Monday, Tuesday, and today, and we got 1 hour left, and then tomorrow, it's on to Denver, all right? 25 games left for the Sacramento Kings. I get the fact that there are people that don't like it. I get the fact that there are people that do like it. But tomorrow, we're moving on. All right? We're moving on. All right, right now it's time for the Garrett Temple Show, and it is brought to you by Wingstop. Garrett, good afternoon. How are you?
What's going on, Grant? I'm doing pretty well, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Let's update, first of all, the hamstring.
It's coming along, man. Again, I've had this before, and I've tweaked it trying to come back too early both times before, so I'm definitely going to take it slow. But I'm able to run, not sprint necessarily yet, but I'm able to run. So it's progressing well.
So, Garrett, will we say that probably won't see you for a second? You want to make sure that you are 100% before you step back out there?
Oh, no question. Yeah, I won't be playing tomorrow. I doubt I'll be playing Saturday as well. So I'm definitely going to make sure I'm 100%. And then, honestly, Doug, I might wait a couple of days more because that's what everybody's telling me.
Yeah.
You know, just to make sure.
Garrett Temple Show brought to you by Wingstop. You can skip the wait and order online at wingstop.com. Try spicy Korean Q for a limited time only. And game day wings, large and family orders, Wingstop, get at it. All right, so the trade's in the books. Now you guys have a game tomorrow. You're not going to be playing, but you'll be doing what you have been doing, and that's supporting the guys. And can you talk about, you know, because a lot of the fans want to know, you lose nearly 30 points and double-digit rebounds, and now you've got 25 games left. Talk about the attitude of this team, because fans want to know, you know, hey, what's going to happen beginning tomorrow? Are the guys going to play hard? Are they throwing in the towel? Are they still trying to make the playoffs? I mean, what's the mindset?
Well, the type of guys that we have on this team, you know, especially the veterans, Darren Collison, Aaron Aflalo, Ben, Anthony Tolliver, you know, those are the guys that's going to go down fighting. So I don't think anybody is looking at this as us giving up on the season at all. Everybody was very, very sad to see DeMarcus go, Omri as well. But DeMarcus, you know, being here for so long and being, you know, really one of the engines that made this team go. But at the end of the day, you know, we're all NBA players, and we still feel like we can go out there and make plays, make enough plays to win games. So guys are going to go out there and play hard just like we've been doing.
Garrett, a lot of new players, one in particular, Buddy Hield. Give me, in the fans, a breakdown from a defender's perspective, like if you're looking at him on a scouting report. So, you know, fans that might not know what to see in a Buddy Hield.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've only played him twice, and he was only in the game for a little bit last game. And I didn't even play last game.
Yeah.
So I've only seen him a little bit. Obviously, he's a shooter. That's his calling card. He can knock down a three. A little more athletic than people give him credit for, I would say. And as rookies, you know, he's still learning the game in terms of the NBA game.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, how to react. But offensively, he really can score. And that's why he was drafted, you know, top 10 by New Orleans. And he's an offensive threat. So hopefully, you know, he can spot up on the 3-point line for us and make some plays off the dribble as well.
Mm-hmm. Is this a tense night for players in the league with the trade deadline tomorrow?
More so, I think the younger you are, the more tense it is. So if you haven't been in this league long enough to see stuff go down, then it's tense. I can only imagine that, you know, Buddy Hield was probably shocked as all out, you know, as shocked as you can get to be traded as a rookie top 10 pick, you know, for him to be traded, you know, what, 6-5 months into being a New Orleans Pelican. But for guys that have been in the league for a while, you know, you know that you can't control. You can only control what you can control, and, you know, stressing over it won't help. So most of the time, I guess if you're 4 or 5 years in, it is what it is.
Garrett, new look, new style, if you want to say. What do you anticipate just from seeing practice the last 2 days? Maybe that the Kings fans are going to see on the court, maybe the style of play, if it will change at all?
Well, I mean, if you think back to the Boston game when DeMarcus wasn't able to play because of the suspension,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be just like that, honestly. We got, you know, Costa as the center, you know, Willie, AT at the four. So guys are going to – it's going to have to be a team effort. You know, we're not going to be playing through the post. We're not going to be playing through DeMarcus. It's going to be, you know, pick and rolls rolling, you know, some penetration kick. You know, it's going to be a lot of team basketball, a lot of ball movement and player movement for us to put some points on the board. And that's how we're going to have to play, maybe play a little quicker pace as well to try to win games.
You know, and you say win games, you know, what the narrative is right now, oh, boy, you know, the Kings just traded their best player and they just waived Matt Barnes. And so they're going to lose every night, blah, blah, blah. For the guys in the locker room, can you address that, what the expectations are now? And do you even care about that? Do the guys even talk about that? Or, you know, fans really want to know what's the talk like inside that locker room.
We don't talk about the expectations from outside. I mean, everybody reads stuff. We know what's being said. But at the end of the day, we still have a team that can compete and win games. We still have veterans that have played and been in the playoffs, played in big games, guys that can put the ball in the hole. So we don't really worry about what the media says and things of that nature. Again, we did. You aren't going to replace 30-12, or that fire. You know, that's one thing we're going to have to, you know, find ways to fill holes in terms of, you know, Matt Barnes statistically wasn't the best player, but I mean his presence in the locker room, his presence on the floor, just his aura. You know, people don't understand how positive that was. And no matter what you think, no matter what you hear on the outside, Matt Barnes is, in terms of a teammate, just the intangibles that he was able to bring in the locker room and stuff, you know, will be missed.
You made a comment a few weeks ago, and I can't remember exactly when it was, after a game, and your comment was, we complain way too much to the officials, and we need to stop that. Now DeMarcus is in New Orleans. Matt Barnes is no longer on the team, and you can make the argument, I don't even think it would be an argument, that those two argued with the officials the most. Do you think that will have, I don't want to say a calming effect on the team, but a positive effect, that aspect is gone from the team?
I mean, it honestly just depends on what the officials call. Honestly, you know, DeMarcus probably did that the most because he got fouled the most without getting called at the end of the day, just to be honest. And whether that was because they didn't see a foul called or they were just mad that he continued to, you know, complain and they didn't want to give him any calls, that's just the fact. You know, so honestly, tomorrow we probably will have less people talking to the officials because the team that we have, the people on this team now, that's not their nature. You know, I used to see Ben McLemore get fouled and just run back down the court without looking at the referee. So the guys on this team aren't the guys that are going to complain to the officials. So we probably leave that up to Coach Yeager from now on.
Garrett, but I don't know how much longer we're going to have with you, so I got to get this in there. You from Baton Rouge, All-Star weekend, you were able to go home. Just kind of how was that, the whole All-Star weekend? You back down in your area. How'd that go?
It was good. It was real hectic for me because I had a few things planned. And like you said, I was going back. I flew to New Orleans, but I was going back and forth from New Orleans to Baton Rouge. So I did. I spoke on a panel with Keon Dooling, Eton Thomas, a little athletes activism panel, just talking about how we can create change in this world right now. How much havoc is in this world and what we can do to create change and the platform we have to actually speak up. Friday went to the Players Association meeting, saw Dave Chappelle, and then Saturday night in New Orleans, which was hilarious, and he's so raw and real.
Yes.
And then spent time with the family on Saturday and Sunday as well. So it was good, man. Had a lot of things to do.
Awesome.
New Orleans all weekend too, and I got to tell you, you're from there, but anyone that's ever been down there for Mardi Gras is unbelievable when you combine that with All-Star weekend. I know you couldn't affect any change on Bourbon Street because that place was out of control, but boy, the trap, hey, listen, you know this, just getting around the city this weekend was almost impossible.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. This isn't even the main weekend for Mardi Gras.
Right.
And I got to correct you, Grant, New Orleans and Baton Rouge, two totally different places. It's almost like it's like Sacramento and San Francisco. So I'm from Baton Rouge, but
yeah.
I know.
No, I know you are. I know you are. Because I'm going to lean on you. I'm thinking if we don't have a game on October 14th next year, I'm gonna fulfill my bucket list, and I'm going to go to the Auburn at LSU game on a Saturday night in Baton Rouge. So I will be. So I will be talking to Garrett and going, give me some tips, man. I'm going to get there 10 hours before the game. Where should I hang out and what should I do? You know what I'm saying?
I got you, man.
What, Gary, what is the feel right now? You know, you haven't been in the locker room in the game, but just being around the guys, is it you know, when the trade goes down, and especially with someone as large as DeMarcus is over the organization, the cornerstone, things can get a little shaky. Is there a positive feel? What are the guys feeling right this moment?
I think people, honestly, are still trying to figure out exactly who's going to be on this team. You know, we still have basically a whole day left, or another 20 hours before the trade deadline is up. And we, just to be real, we have 7 shooting guards on this team. So we're really trying to figure out, you know, if, are we going to go into straight rebuilding mode, or are we going to go to a situation where we don't know what's going on, honestly. So until Thursday, you know, game time, we'll have a better feel. Obviously, we'll know who's on the team for the rest of the season. But right now, it's still a little bit of shock, I think, and guys are still trying to figure things out, roles and things like that. So it's you don't really know the feeling yet. Like I said, I think give me 24 hours and I'll be able to give you a better feel.
For the fans that want to know more about your injury, and you kind of talked about the process, but what are you able to do now when you get out onto the court or whatever your workout is? What are you able to do?
I can run. I haven't run top end speed yet, which isn't very much to me, but I can run, haven't sprinted yet. I can do some drills, shoot. I can dunk, things of that nature, but,
You can't beat Odell Beckham in a 40-yard dash. Is that what you're telling me?
Nah. I was close when I was healthy, but now, nah. But, so I can do almost anything except full court sprint right now, and I'm not doing any live stuff. So, getting close.
Does it still have pain, or is it just a matter of strength? What is it like?
If I try to get top end speed, it's a little bit of tightness still. So I want to make sure, I want to make sure I don't feel anything and then wait a couple of days after that, like I said.
Garrett, are you a guy that gets a lot of massage and those type of things? Or you just kind of manage your body with stretch and flexibility? Kind of how do you manage your body? I mean, minus this, the injury part.
Yeah, I usually, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've tried to do massages. Honestly, it depends on how much I play. So in the rotation, playing over 20 minutes a game, I got to make sure I get my massages. I don't stretch as much. I've talked to trainers. You know, I guess they've done research over the last few years, and stretching isn't as big of a deal now, so especially before the game. So I usually just get a massage, make sure I'm trying to eat right, and get my, you know, make sure I'm in that weight room.
You know,
my muscles are strong.
You know, Garrett, I've heard that as well, and I train athletes, and when guys talk about that, what's your take on if stretching is actually good for you? Because I have my own take.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm one of those guys that like to leave whatever the experts say. Mm-hmm. You know, we hire trainers for a reason, so they do the research on it. Whatever they say, you know, I'll at least try. Now, if I don't stretch and I start feeling tight, and I felt better when I was stretching, then I go back to that.
Okay.
But, you know, I'd give them a chance with whatever the research says first, and if it's working, then I'll go with it.
Yeah. And you said you try to eat healthy. I got to tell you, I was in New Orleans for 4 nights, and I tried to eat healthy. It's just not possible, man. How do you eat healthy in the Bayou State?
You either when you're down there, you either got to – not eat at all. Not eat healthy. Yeah, so I tried to just maybe skip a few meals while I was back 10 pounds overweight.
That is absolutely beautiful. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you out there tomorrow, and we hope to see you on the court here in the not-too-distant future. Only 25 games left. I guess the final thing I did want to ask, and I just remembered how difficult it must have been to see Malachi Richardson go down with a similar injury that you had, because it looked like he had just started to really find himself.
Yeah, that was tough. That was real tough. You know, especially that kind of game, you know, where the game is out of reach, we're down 25-30. You know, he getting some run. It was tough, man. It was real tough. I felt bad for him. part of the game, though. You know, it is what it is.
Yep.
He's going to bounce back. He's in a positive mood, so he's going to bounce back. And I've told him, just like people have told me, and because of my experience, don't come back too fast, brother.
Right.
Don't come back too fast.
Yep. Yeah. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much, Garrett.
All right, Grant.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Doug.
You got it, man.
What a class act he is, Garrett Temple.
Yes, sir.
The Garrett Temple Show brought to you by Wingstop. We'll take your phone calls. And this, remember, we've got the coach coming on at 5:30. And I mean this, starting tomorrow, I'm not talking about the trade anymore. I'm just not. I think we owe it to our audience to move on, respect the fact that the organization made this decision. If you're on board, great. If you're not on board, that's your prerogative. That's your opinion. But I'm moving on tomorrow. I'm moving on. Doug, are you in agreement with that?
Well, Grant, I tried to move on the first day. Just that's the athletic mentality that I have, and I understand that. And yeah, I'm ready. Let's roll.
All right, Josh, we'll roll with you right here. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Grant, how's it going?
Josh, what's happening today?
Nothing much. I'm just ready to move past all this DeMarcus Cousins nonsense and just get forward to talking about the roster as is.
Yeah, let's do that.
I really like the comment that Garrett Temple just made. We got 7 shooting guards on the roster right now, and I want to get a feel for what your guys' opinion is about our guard situation. I was listening to you guys open up. You were talking about the initial 8-man rotation, how you think Buddy Hield and Darren Collison are going to be the starters, and then you got Tyreek Evans and Ty Law coming off the bench.
Yeah, I forgot about Ben McLemore, too, which I shouldn't have done because he's been playing so well. I mean,
that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I, you know what? It was my bad, Josh. It was an oversight on my part, and after I said it, I slapped myself in the face because he's the guy that's been playing very well.
I didn't.
And I wouldn't even be surprised if he starts, Josh. But, again, we'll talk to the coach when he comes on in 10 minutes.
Right on. I really would like to see like him get more minutes even than Tyreek Evans. Because tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like the biggest thing about Tyreek Evans, he's an expiring contract.
Yes.
So I was just looking at the big broad picture there, and I appreciate you guys' take, and I'll take that off the air.
Yeah, he's making $10 million this year, and he is a free agent at the end of this year. So you are correct, and there are a lot of shooting guards on the team. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
There's been a kind of a hole at shooting guard the last few years, and now you got a log jam. So this is going to – it's going to be interesting to see how everything pans out, who plays, who doesn't play. I think that there will be the ability to play small ball a lot of the times. Now, do you match up well against other teams doing that? That'll be something that will – you know, and I think guys are going to have to compete for minutes.
All right, let's get to Mark. Hello, Mark.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, Grant, isn't it going to be so nice that you could be able to talk about the Kings games and not have to talk about the antics of the gentleman who just left his team and not basically have everybody, you know, talk about it for 4 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is. But, hey, I wanted to talk about this article. You know, I think there's blame on both ends, DeMarcus, obviously, and the Kings organization. And there was an article on ESPN by Kevin Norquist. I don't know if you've did you get a chance to read that article?
Yes.
You know, it talked about, you know, DeMarcus in the early days, you know, with the referee meetings and things, you know, going off on Bennett Salvatore, and you know, so he's going to have an issue, I think, the rest of his career. But what I found very, very interesting is that, you know, in this article, and this is quote, several agents and executives who shared their thoughts and backgrounds have found working with the Kings have been very confounding and abnormal. And this is with, you know, with the organization trying to deal, you know. So as far as how the trade came down or whatever, we don't know who they talked to. But I think there's some frustrations throughout the league with the way the Kings, how they negotiate or how they make deals. And so obviously, you know, a lot of this article talked a lot about Vivek and how meddling he is. And even though you say that, you know, that Vladi is in control, complete control with everything that's going on, it did sound like that Vivek is still involved. Yes, he is the owner. And there's no way of getting rid of Vivek the way the structure of the team is, according to the article.
Yeah, hey, and Mark, when I say that, I mean, yeah, Vivek obviously is the owner, and obviously he's going to have some say in things, but he has enabled Vlade Divac to make the basketball decisions. It's his final decision. I mean, we'd be naive to think that he and Vivek aren't talking and Vivek's not giving his input, but the final decision is made by Vlade Divac. He's the one that made the decision.
Yeah, as well it should be. That's what you hire him for. That's what he is out front for, to do that.
Mike, you're next here. Hello, Mike.
Hey, fellas. So do you think we have, I mean, do you feel like the roster's set, or do you kind of have like a, and it would obviously just be pure speculation, or just like a gut feeling that there might be some more moves? I'm trying to think if we have the assets to get, I would like, this draft I think is going to be really deep, to get one more first round.
I don't see that happening.
You don't think,
I don't see that happening because you don't really have the personnel to go out and get a first-round pick, in my opinion, based on length of contracts and everything. I don't think that's possible.
I was thinking was kind of like what the Nets did was with DeMarcus gone now, I think we're going to have a lot of salary cap. It's kind of to eat a bad contract in order to get a pick. I was actually thinking Collison might be have the Wizards.
Yeah, but he's also in the final year of his deal, so you're not going to get a first round for a guy that's in the final year of his deal.
Maybe a healthy Rudy Gay paired with Darren Collison or somebody.
That might have done
a first round.
Although Rudy's in the same boat.
Costa, who I love.
I like Costa, team, too. Yeah,
but he is definitely – I think he's probably our best tradable asset. For
I would agree with that.
And what he is, I just
– I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I just don't know if – I think it would be really nice in this draft to be able to – squeeze one more pick out of someone, a first rounder, but I think we'd have to eat a contract, which I think I'd be okay with going young.
I just don't, and I know, and Mike, thank you so much for the call. I don't think it's practical right now to think that the Kings are going to get another first round pick in the draft. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk with Dave Yeager. That is coming up right next here on Sports 1140 KHDK. We're getting you right up to college basketball. Good one with Louisville and North Carolina, but it is time for the Dave Yeager Show, and it is brought to you by Petkus Brothers. Coach, a belated happy birthday. How are you?
Thanks, man. How are you guys?
You know what? Doing very well. It's great to hear your voice after a couple of days off, but it was a rather atypical week. Obviously, you being the head coach, now you've got a different type of a roster to work with 25 games left. I would assume this is a pretty challenging week for you.
Yeah, it's been interesting, you know, but through the course of change and other opportunities present themselves for different players. And, you know, I went through some change last year. We had a lot of injuries. And so, you know, our roster is changing and, you know, we're going forward. And one chapter ends and another chapter begins. And I think, you know, people are excited about it.
Coach, first time, I don't know, for, you know, such a high-profile player to be traded midstream, how tough is that to kind of navigate midstream with something like that?
Well, I think, you know, you got to be – my job is to keep everybody very positive and be positive myself and look at the opportunities. And I'm always going to defend players. And so I'm going to go out and bless and say nice things about those guys that have left our organization and wish them the best. And that's what I'm going to do. And in doing so, I'm not saying anything veiled or hidden or digging on anybody or disagreeing with anybody.
Right.
That's my job, you know. And I think sometimes, what he's really saying. No, what I'm really saying is I really enjoyed coaching the heck out of DeMarcus and Matt Barnes. And, you know, he did so much, DeMarcus especially, for the community and the organization for a long time. I wish him nothing but the best. And I'm going to love on the next guys that come in here, and we're going to do everything we can to go out and compete every night. I think that's – you talk about developing players. The thing I can't stand is the summer league mentality where guys just get 3 minutes because people think you're throwing it in. We're not throwing it in.
Right.
We're going to go out and compete and scratch and claw, and guys are going to have opportunities that maybe didn't before. And let's see what they can do, but we're going to go out and compete to win.
Coach, as we sit here, and again, let's just assume that there are no more transactions, which, you know, again, we don't know, but let's just, for the sake of our conversation, say that. Do you even know what your rotation is going to look like tomorrow, or will that be something that you'll decide on tomorrow?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As the roster unfolds, I think one thing that I think people may or may not understand is when you trade a heavy hitter, so to speak, as you said, an all-star guy of DeMarcus's caliber, a lot of times the positions of the players you get back are secondary almost
right
to their salary, so their salaries match. right? And so,
sure.
So, you know, we lost Rudy Gay, and then we've lost Omri Cassidy was part of the deal, and Matt Barnes. And so, but it worked itself out. As you said, there's still 48 hours or whatever, 36 hours left in this trade season here. And it just takes time for the roster to balance itself out, and that's what will happen. So, you know, I think you're still going to see, you know, Ben McLemore and Aaron. I want Buddy to get his feet on the ground here first. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, he's had one practice and maybe a shoot-around. We'll try to keep it real simple. And I've still got to slide Aaron to follow down and play him at some small forward. Playing Anthony Tolliver and Costa. There's going to be times where Costa and Willie are going to play together. I think Willie's minutes are going to go up through this course, and then you work through it. You know, how far away is Garrett Temple still? So we still have some injury things to deal with as well.
Coach, oddly enough, if anyone is probably fit to do this job, you and your coaching staff, after last year having to deal with all the different lineups, you're put in this position. Does that give you any solace or confidence going into dealing with a bunch of guys that it wasn't what you started with at the beginning of the season?
No, that's a good question. And coming up from the minor leagues, mm-hmm. that was also, you know, because you guy – that is your best player all of a sudden gets called up and you got to, you know, kind of change things on the fly, and you get a new guy and get off the plane and
yeah.
try to throw him in there that night, some of those kinds of things. So, you know, the biggest thing is keeping guys' spirits up, getting their legs underneath them, you know, after 6 days off, get their timing back. Sometimes crazy things happen on first games back from a break, and being real positive about the message. And the message is simple, that we're going to go out and compete. And what I charged our guys with after the Golden State game, last 25 games of our season, is what I'm putting on those veterans now. Mm-hmm. That's their responsibility. Some guys aren't here anymore. Other guys, look, when you're a veteran, you think you want those leadership responsibilities, whether it be off the court and especially now on the court, where other guys have to step up a little bit more.
We're talking with Dave Yeager, the Dave Yeager Show, brought to you by Petkus Brothers. You know, you talked about Buddy Hield, and listen, you said just one practice today, a shoot-around tomorrow. And obviously you haven't seen him play a lot. How long does it take for a coach to get a feel on a player?
That's a good question. I think sometimes we rush to judgment, but I think what's fair to make a first impression is almost Christmas of their second year. You know what I mean? We're like, okay, you get through the first year, that's just a whole learning curve. Some guys flash it right away. Some guys are a little slower. Mike Conley just keeps getting better and better, and it's just blowing through, and now is into his third contract and continues to get better. Where you're like, after his first 2 years, you're going, okay, can this guy be at that Chris Paul level or whatever? So, but I do think, to answer your question, I think by Christmas of their second year, you've got a pretty good handle on it, whether they're going to be, you know, hitting it right away, or that, and especially bigs take a little bit longer to discern how it's going to come out for their career.
I want to let you know that I am really feeling outstanding right now, because we have been doing this show since October, and it's the first time you've ever said I asked a good question.
Oh, buddy, I tell you off the air what a great question it is. I'll pump you up on the air. All right.
Coach, I would say starting over, year zero for you. Now you look and you say, okay, this is stylistically what we're going with. This is what we got. So now you kind of pump it back to year zero. And what do you see stylistically trying to move forward?
That is a interesting question. You know, you kind of don't know how it's going to be, because, you know, when we look out here, Doug, we could end up with a lot of first and second year players.
Yes.
Coming out by, let's say, July 15th. You know what I mean? After the draft and after free agency. So I think, you know, the biggest thing is you want your team to really go out and compete. And I want to be able to have somebody come into practice and not know the difference if we're 40-10 or 10-40 at any point this year, next year, or any time going forward. That, you know what, we go in there and we work our tails off, and we're trying to continue to improve. And so it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we've got some guys with options on their contracts. We've got some guys that are expiring. Do we renew their contract? On all of those decisions are yet to be made. But suffice to say, for the next 25 games, we've got to play a little bit quicker, try to find some opportunities in transition. We've got some guys that will get it up quick, and that's okay, because sometimes, you know, the more passes you make, old school coach told me, man, Dave, you know, the more passes you make, the better chance you have of turning the ball over.
Right.
So maybe right. You just get it up there a little quicker. But I think we'll play a little bit quicker and, you know, a little bit more bang, bang, pick and rolls. It's going to be, you know, a little bit more equal opportunity. And I think you're going to get to see some guys that maybe haven't shown their full length of their skill set because we put them in different roles. And now we need to expand their role a little bit.
You know, when you talk about roles and players, you know, when you have a player like Tyreek Evans who comes over in a trade like this, is it easier as you a coach to just throw a guy out like that out there because he's been in a lot of different situations and knows how to play the game?
It is, and also with a guy of that Tyreek is, you can tell him just to go get his. Like, dude, just go get your money, dog.
Right.
Just put some dudes over here and put a couple guys over here. That's not hard to figure out. Just go, because, I mean, like, you know, even today, I mean, the guy can get into seams and really,
yep,
you know, can get to the basket with his body. He's still coming back from injury, I think, a little bit. So I got to play that right, and we have the best trainer in the NBA in Pete Youngman. So how hard we go with him in practice of how he's able to play. But, yeah, we've got to get those practices under his belt just so he's going to know where guys are going to be.
Coach, we had a chance to talk to Garrett earlier, and he kind of gave us an update on him. Malachi Richardson, unfortunate for the young fella to get hurt. He seemed to be coming to his own. Any word, idea, kind of where is he right now?
Garrett or Malachi?
Malachi, I'm sorry.
Malachi's going to be out for a while.
Okay.
We may be right around April 1st. And you get to April 1st, and, a young guy who, like you say, he got some confidence. He got some regular run. And so I want to be careful, too, of, what are we shooting for? What are we aiming for to get him back for? Is it worth it to get an extra 10 games under his belt? We want him to be fully healthy. That's the number one thing. So we'll err on that side. The hamstring bug is kind of an interesting one. You texted me, Grant, and told me not to blow my hamstring over the break. The real clarification of those things is some other big words that are not specifically hamstring.
Sure.
Adductor, abductor, latus, something. Ty's got one of those. And Aaron's is more of a glute thing where we kind of shut him down there precautionary against Golden State thinking that was a hammy. That's been kind of more diagnosed as more of a glute issue. And there's a big piriformis or something. Is that a word? I don't know.
No idea, but if you can spell it, we'll make it into a word. Hey, Dave, it's never easy after these long breaks, regardless of whether you've got the full complement of players. But now with the trade on top of this and all these new players, I'm just curious, is the message tomorrow before the game, guys, you're at home, the crowd's here, just go out and play hard?
Yeah, that's what we've talked about the last 2 days. We still have goals. You're going to go out and you're going to compete. If you lose, you're not happy about it. You win, you celebrate just like any, So let's go out there. Let's be fresh. Let's not let me put a whole bunch of stuff on their mind about remember this and remember this. Let's have some life to us and let's just go really fly around. And I think that runs through the organization. I have a ton of respect for Vlade and we're very close. And look, we're all going forward arm in arm and let's just go out and compete. And I think that's going right through the organization right now. And so guys are positive about what we can possibly do.
Coach, interestingly enough, the record is below 500, but still right in the race. Does that help you to not have to necessarily extra motivate the guys, and it can give you an evaluation of guys in a really pressure situation? Because going for the eighth spot is big-time stuff.
Yeah, it is. And you always want to compete, and the season is long. And I think, I think we've talked about that before. You never want to hit 10 wins after you've hit 20 losses, right? It's like, oh, my gosh, we've got 50 more. We just got no chance. And so our guys are being in a competitive situation. I think that's all you ask for as a player. So that's I think that's definitely helpful.
Did you get anything good for your birthday, Coach?
It was quite an interesting day yesterday, and it's been an interesting 48 hours, but it's change. And, one chapter closes and another one opens, and it's more opportunities, and it's exciting.
You don't sound any older, Coach.
That's because I quit counting once I hit 40. I'm going backwards now.
Well, I must be about 12 then, because I've been going backwards too, buddy.
Unbelievable.
Interesting stuff in the league, though, of what's happening, what's all the smoke and no fire. And, I mean, it happens every year and all the rumors and, everything else. It's a crazy time of year. And, tomorrow at 12-1, that's what I told our guys today. The players are talking to their agents.
right? And the agents are saying, well, I'm hearing that. You know what? The agents don't know either. But they're charged with telling their player, you know, what they feel is going on. And so there's a real sense of relief. And that's why I told our guys, tomorrow at 12:01, we're just going forward. You know, and tomorrow morning, people are going to be on their phones. They're going to be wondering what's going on and this and that. All these rumors, and 99.5% of them are true. But at 12:01 tomorrow, we go forward, and looking forward to it.
Coach, enjoy the evening, and we can't wait to get out there tomorrow and see some Kings basketball. Thanks, as always.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
The head coach of the Sacramento Kings, and very positive, very upbeat, Doug.
I think that that's what, especially now as you get this, you got some veterans in there, but you got some young guys too. They need to see that from their leader. And that's why I referenced the point of Dave and his staff really being actually the perfect staff to be able to kind of, you know, take control of the situation, because last year in Memphis, they had so many different starting lineups. So they've been in this position before, and when you look to your leader, you want to hear that. You want to hear that positivity, Grant, and you want to hear the ability, guys, to go out here and get something done. And what are you looking for? And what do you need to do? And being in that position before, I think it really bodes well for the Kings. So good stuff.
All right, we'll be right back to wrap it up. Been an interesting show today, to say the least. Tomorrow, Doug and I are going to be out at Golden 1 Center at 3 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to follow the same path that the coach just did. We're moving on. We have 25 games to talk about. We've got Buddy Hield to talk about. We've got Tyreek to talk about. And the existing Sacramento Kings, we don't know whether or not there are going to be any more trades. But I'm not talking about DeMarcus Cousins tomorrow, and I'm not talking about the trade. I'm not going there. I'm just being honest with you. I'm done with it. We spent 3 full days on it, and I think that that was appropriate. But tomorrow, I'm turning the page, so I'm just letting you know. I'm done with talking about it. He's got a game tomorrow against Houston. The Kings have a game tomorrow here against Denver. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I hope the fans are too.
Yeah, I think they will. And interesting little tidbits, yeah. Like you hear Coach Yeager talking about Ben McLemore. You know, he's earned his spot,
yes.
And he's going to bring
– he's probably going to start.
Yeah, and he's going to bring Buddy Hield along slowly and let him get his feet underneath him. And
you like that?
Those are the type of things that now we can discuss moving forward.
Yeah, and so a guy like Buddy doesn't mean he's not going to play.
No.
Right.
But, you know – first of all, you're a rookie. You've been traded. His head's probably spinning. He was trying to get his feet, and it looked like he was starting to get his feet in New Orleans, and now all of a sudden he's someplace else.
Do you think a guy like that would be more comfortable with Tyreek Evans in the backcourt?
Maybe, because there's a connection from another place coming here. So those will probably be – that's why I said Coach Yeager and his staff are perfect for this situation, because they've seen so many different things from last year, starting all those different lineups and trying to figure stuff out. And here you are again trying to cut and paste and make things work. So it'll be interesting tomorrow.
All right. So tomorrow we will be courtside, 3 o'clock, and it's a new chapter. It's only – it's going to be a small chapter. It's a 25-page chapter. And then the draft picks this summer, the free agent moves this summer, the roster, I think, is going to be significantly different in October. And then it's really, you know, full steam ahead. Full steam ahead.
Full steam. Put pedal to the metal, yep. and see what you can do, man.
All right. For Doug Christie, Grant Napier saying thanks to Garrett Temple. Thanks to head coach Dave Yeager. Thanks to all of you and your feedback today. We really appreciate it. And thanks to Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Till tomorrow, so long, everybody.